football on off the ball.
Definitely not failed though. I've gone out there and different culture, different league, trying to learn the ropes of everything. It's coming good at a good time. I think did he score 2 weeks ago as well?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah.
I believe in Mike Hankey, and I suppose they're good at football. They just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12. I love playing 10. I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.
Hello, hello, hello. Happy 2026 and welcome back to Word on the Street, where usually every week we take a trending sporting topic, something that is dominating the headlines, and we take it to the public. But to welcome in the new year, we're doing something a little bit different this week as we look ahead to the 2026 Milano Cortina Winter Olympics, which begin next month. Today, we chat to three Team Ireland hopefuls, alpine skiers Elle Murphy and Ava McKenna, and mogul skier Claire Dooley, all hoping to qualify for the Games. So here is episode 32, Olympic Dreams. Hi Elle, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
So, I mean, you must be very busy with training right now. So where exactly in the world are you? Because there's lots of snow in Europe at the moment, but there's none in Dublin anyways.
Yeah. So I've been training and racing out of Austria this season. The years prior, I've been based out of the States, but this year, the Olympics being held in Italy, I decided to be over here.
And it's alpine skiing is the discipline that you're hoping to be competing in.
Yes, correct.
So for the non-converted, for the people who may be watching the Winter Olympics for the first time, can you explain kind of how does alpine skiing differ from different other forms of skiing?
Yeah, of course. So alpine skiing is a faster event. Our main goal is to pretty much beat the clock, be the first one down, be the fastest one down. We ski around gates. There's four different disciplines, slalom being tighter, smaller turns, and then GS, giant slalom, being larger turns, and then super G and downhill, which are the speed events, which are fast and pretty much just going straight down the hill.
And do you have a preference?
This season I've pretty much been racing all of them. I'm more keen and lean towards GS and Super G, but I've been racing all four events this season. So
I think for the Winter Olympics, for people who aren't, for most of Ireland, I guess, who aren't kind of clued in to the way your seasons run and everything like that, it's sort of snuck up on people, the fact that it's starting next month.
Yeah.
But I guess for you and your fellow Irish athletes who are trying to qualify, that's not been the case. Has it been a very busy few months?
Incredibly so. Our qualification period actually started July 2024. And during that time, I was struggling with an injury. And so I was a bit late to getting on snow for that qualification period. So as it rolled into the 2026 season, I've been down in Chile for our summer and their winter, racing down there. And then these past few months, I've just been go, go, go in Austria and all around Europe.
So we'll kind of delve into the Olympics themselves kind of a bit later on. But I suppose for now, to give people a bit of background on yourself, you come from an Irish-American family. You've been skiing since you were a young kid. How did you get involved in the sport? I think for a sport that for a lot of us here in Ireland is incredibly niche.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my dad actually traveled to the States in his mid-20s and fell in love with winter and winter sports. So he and my mom raised us to just love everything outdoors, love the winter. So skiing came natural for me and my sister. We got into racing when we were about six, and then we were competitively racing by the time we were 10, and then competing for Ireland when I was about 16 in the international circuit.
And was there any kind of qualms about representing Ireland, or was that always what you wanted to do?
Pretty much always what I wanted to do. I would travel back to Dublin, where my dad's from, for the summers. And being with my cousins, they were always just, wow, you ski. Like, that's so cool. And so I've always been proud. And so skiing for Ireland, just it felt natural.
And so you've been representing Ireland at alpine skiing for years now. And am I correct in saying that you became Ireland's first major world medalist in the sport and the 2019 World Junior Alpine Skiing Championships?
Yes, I finished third for U18s. So getting a bronze medal for Ireland on a world stage was really one of those big moments, pretty much proving that Ireland is a bigger and an up-and-coming contender in winter sports. But yeah, that was a very special moment.
What was the kind of your memories of that moment like? Because I'm sure, you know, you must have been very young at the time as well.
I was, yeah. I was U18, and that's a young age to come in and being competing. The Junior World Championships are actually a U23 event. And so being a U18, I was a bit younger, but there was a lot of nerves. But knowing that I was on the verge of getting a medal just made me ski faster, a bit stronger. So it was great.
Were you still at school at the time, or when you're kind of doing all this intensive training, does it take over your life?
It pretty much took over a big chunk of the age. When I was 16 to 20, I did online school. So I converted to mostly just traveling and racing with a coach, and studying and doing all my practices like online for school. And then when it came, I applied to uni and I skied for the University of Nevada these last 4 years.
And trying to balance, I suppose, having a social life while you're in college and your studies and then and your skiing, are you finding you've more time, I suppose, maybe now to commit yourself to your training and to getting to, hopefully, now the Olympics?
Yeah, this year has actually been so exciting to almost fall back in love with skiing again and doing it full time. I've always loved skiing, but sometimes I had an exam to study for and maybe couldn't train that day or do recovery, and was always balancing a lot of different responsibilities. So this year, having all my focus on skiing has been something that's really special, and putting it all towards the Olympics has been really powerful.
So what would an average, say, day or week look like for you training-wise? Is it kind of lots of strength and conditioning and resting, or are you mainly like on the slopes?
During the summer months and when we're not around snow, it's in the gym 2 days or two times a day, multiple days a week, getting strong. When we're around snow and we're getting on snow, training about 6 days a week. And those training periods will be early mornings, usually on snow by 7 a.m. and training till noon, and then hopefully doing some recovery in the later afternoons.
And are you in contact a lot with Team Ireland? Is all your training sort of done via them?
Yeah, we try. A lot of the Irish athletes are scattered all over the globe right now. Some of the freestyle athletes are over in North America. A lot of the Alpine athletes are in Europe. So we all try to stay in contact, and Team Ireland's been great giving us resources to either help with mental support or programs for strength and conditioning. So just kind of staying in contact with them has been great.
Because I think you would think, looking maybe from the outside in, that it's quite an individual sport. It's just kind of you on the ski slopes. But the picture you're painting is of this huge team that's all around you.
Mm-hmm. It takes a community. Had my parents backing me since I was young, coaches, and especially also having teammates that I ski with. It is an individual sport when we're in the start and we're racing, but having the teammates around to chat about the course or chat about the results really helps a lot.
So I suppose for the Olympic qualification period, you're saying it's been kind of going on since 2024 at this stage. Is there a certain kind of quota of Irish athletes that can qualify? Are there certain points you need to reach? How do you know that you've made it? And when will you know if you've made it?
Yeah, so the Irish team is only allotted one quota for one female, one male to compete in alpine skiing. So my main goal lately has been maintaining my FIS points, which is the world ranking for all alpine ski racers globally. And so with the most competitive fist point profile and world ranking, that spot would be for ultimately the best female and male Irish skier.
And is this, I'm presuming this is the first time that you've attempted to qualify for an Olympics, or did you try back in, would have been 23?
Yeah, so I made a go for it. I was quite young. I was pre-college, pre-university for me, and I was in a good spot for Irish skiers. But now that I've grown a lot in my skiing and in my career, and I've had the opportunity to ski at kind of a larger level in college, being over in the States for NCAA racing, that has kind of prepped me emotionally and physically now to take on full support into this Olympics.
Is the alpine skiing community like a, are you seeing the same people at the events that you're going and you're traveling to? How, like, I mean, for people certainly who are living in Ireland right now, we have no skiing, we have no slopes really, so it's all looking externally. Are you going to competitions and you're racing against the same people?
Yeah, definitely. Now that I'm based in Austria, I see a lot of similar and familiar faces. But on kind of the main stage, yes, you're going to see the tops, Michaela Schifrin, Lindsey Vonn, and the bigger skiers that are pretty well known, and especially in our smaller races, we'll get to see a lot of familiar faces.
And so with the Winter Olympics now being in Italy, was it very important for you to be training in Austria? Did it make a difference in terms of the type of slopes that you're going to be skiing on? Was it a tactical decision?
It definitely was. For me, it was focusing on kind of being on the same snow conditions, because that definitely changes versus which continent you're skiing on. So being kind of close to Italy and racing in Europe, being in the same time zone, definitely was one of the main goals for me, just getting here and keeping motivated, being close to Italy with that goal in mind.
Is it hard to stay motivated when the qualification period is so long? I mean, for us, we're only really paying attention to the Winter Olympics now because they're happening so soon. But for you, it's been a 2-year journey.
Yeah, it's been quite difficult for me. It began, my qualification period began with an injury, which I needed surgery for. So I was late to get on snow. And then I also was managing my last year in uni. So being able to graduate and then focus fully on skiing, time actually kind of flew by. Just focusing on this one goal, it really motivated me to kind of get it done.
Was it a very serious injury that you sustained?
So not incredibly. I just did a scope of my knee just to remove some cartilage, just wear and tear from over the years.
I'm sure it's a pretty common injury to have in this sport, kind of when it's so focused on the lower half of your body.
Yeah, completely. But the main goal is just to stay strong, stay flexible, and then we can ski our best when we're out there.
Has, obviously, you've had an incredibly impressive junior career representing Ireland, but has the Olympics always been what you're aiming for? Or is it most of your kind of career is looking at different, competitions? And is this always the ultimate dream, I guess I'm asking?
Completely, without a doubt. I think even as a young girl before I even was representing any country, the Olympics were always a dream of mine. So as my career has kind of evolved over the years, I've had the opportunities to compete in great events that just makes me want to compete in the Olympics more.
Is there kind of any pressure when you put on for the first time, like an Ireland skiing setup, and you have it all on your chest, and you're going to go out there, and like as you said, you've won a medal for Ireland. I'm sure your father as well must be very proud of that.
Yeah, sport always comes with pressure. It's learning how to deal with it and channel it into either some aggression and pop in the ski or in the course. So learning how to channel that pressure into something great.
Is there a lot of difference between courses? You know, do you find yourself preferring, oh, I wish it was laid out like this one day, or is there, do you have much say in that?
I, as an athlete, I don't have much say, but every course that we ski is set differently. There's an opportunity if your coach sets for a specific race, he can set a course that's more in tune with your type of skiing. So maybe straighter turns or a tighter set where the gates are closer together. But we don't get much say. Really, it's looking at the hill, analyzing it during inspection, and then racing it.
So it's the speed that's kind of the goal for you in your discipline.
Pretty much.
And you're kind of, because I know that you know, we look at different types of skiers. You know, there's mogul skiing. There's cross country. And what age were you when you had committed yourself to alpine skiing?
It's always been alpine skiing. I think it was never in the question that I do anything else. I think it was the adrenaline and the speed junkie that I was when I was young. And so it progressed pretty easily into alpine skiing.
So, I mean, when you look at now, you've been, you know, doing this since you were a very young kid. You've had 2 years now of this qualifying process for hopefully the Italian Winter Olympics. We're coming up, we'll know, I think, by the end of January. Do you have any time to relax? And if so, like, what do you like to do to relax?
I take a lot of naps. I think that is the easiest way just to calm myself and kind of reset. I'm pretty good at, you know, crawling into bed or taking a nap in the car on the way back from the hill. Our days are long when we're up at the resort pretty early, and then race days, there's usually timing holds or the days get long. So I like to just kind of take naps and yeah.
I think you're probably doing the exact right thing. It sounds like a very hectic schedule. So Is it by the end of January, you will, I think, Team Ireland will be set in stone. We'll know who's going to be going to the Olympics.
Yes, the cutoff, the official cutoff is January 18th. And so up until now, I am almost racing every day. I raced this morning just before this meeting. and so racing every day, trying to get the results that I want and need. But yeah, till that time comes, I'm skiing really well right now, and I'm excited to keep racing up until then. So hopefully we'll see what happens.
How did your race go this morning?
It actually went really well. I had a personal best in the fist points, and so hopefully that will help a bit with the world ranking. So one step in the right direction.
Well, congratulations. I mean, if there's any time to be hitting personal bests, it's definitely in the couple of weeks before the Olympics. Listen, thank you very much for chatting to us today. I know you must be absolutely swamped with everything. So thank you very much. And from all of us here, we wish you the very best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much to alpine skier Elle Murphy, who took time out of a very hectic schedule to talk to us today. Next up, we chat to Wicklow-born Ava McKenna, another alpine skier, about her journey towards Cortina 2026. Hi, Ava. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Hi. Of course, it's my pleasure.
I mean, I know you must be like so busy at the moment. Kind of we're getting ready. We're in the last stretch now of the qualifications for the Winter Olympics 2026. What was your Christmas schedule like?
So before Christmas, I had quite a bit of a race block. I had a few races in giant slalom and at the very beginning of December also in speed. And then on the 23rd, I got to go home for Christmas and enjoy a bit of Christmas before going back to training on the 28th.
And where's home for you? It's Wicklow, is it?
No, that's where I was born, and I grew up in Wicklow until I was about 5 years old. And then my family moved with me to Switzerland, and I've been living in Switzerland near Luzerne ever since. And so I went home with my parents.
Is Switzerland where you are based for training, or is it more of a all around the world kind of thing?
Well, it's more of an all-around-the-world thing. As of this season, I'm based in Aprica in Italy. But up until now, I've always been, because of school, I've been at home in Switzerland and been doing school and some training and travelling to training from there.
being kind of having grown up in Switzerland and living and training there, was there any doubt about representing Ireland?
Never really, because I also don't have a Swiss passport yet. So for me, it was always, I felt Irish, I am Irish, and it was a lot more fun to go the Irish route instead of trying to go more into the Swiss route. And that way I can also, I feel more connected to my family and my home in Ireland. So
it's alpine skiing is the Winter Olympic sport that you're aiming to be a part of, and it's the one that you've been, you know, skiing for a very long time. How did you get involved in this, and what was it about alpine skiing specifically that kind of caught your attention?
So I started skiing when I was 5 when we moved to Switzerland, and my parents put me into a ski school because they always loved skiing, which is one of the many reasons that we moved to Switzerland, to be closer to the mountains. And when I was 7, I started going to the local ski club, and I just kind of always continued training with them until eventually now I'm in my 4th year FIS. And a couple of years before FIS, I got to know the process with the Irish crowd. I went to a few children's races with them. So since then, I've been more integrated in the Irish system, and I've always just really loved the sport, and it's always given me so much happiness. So I always just stuck with it.
So you went to the Junior World Championships in 2024. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, that is correct. And I also went last year in 2025 in Tarvisio.
And what were those experiences like? Was it the first time you were kind of competing at that sort of level?
Yes, probably. I mean, I did get to do the European Youth Olympics in 23, and before the Junior World Championships in 24, I just travelled there from the Youth Olympics in Korea. But this was another level because the age group was even bigger. It wasn't just U18, but U21. And there were a lot of competitors there that were extremely strong. So it was a lot more difficult to be happy with your result in some ways. But there were some amazing experiences that I've had with the Irish team itself, and just gathering that kind of experience on a bigger stage in that sense.
Do you go about handling kind of the pressure of these really intensive competitive environments, especially when you're representing your country?
I just try to stick to my routine. I stick to the same race routine I have in all my other races in training as well. And I just try and follow all those same rituals, because I feel like us skiers are quite superstitious in some ways, like with about which boot to close first, and just try to ignore all the people around.
Do you have a lot of superstitions yourself?
I do have a couple. It's more about which order to put things on, and first the right boot buckle and then the left boot, and how many times to visualize the course, etc.
So with the kind of differences that can be between courses, depending on kind of what the weather's like, I suppose, or what continent you're on and everything, is it important for you to be kind of having those same routines so that even if you're doing a very different course layout, you're kind of securing yourself?
Yeah, I think it's very important, or at least for me, because that way it makes you feel, as you said, a lot more secure in what you're doing, and it feels like you know what you're doing, even if the conditions are all completely different to what you're used to.
How are you feeling about the fact that the Winter Olympics are in Italy, obviously very near to where you grew up? Is there a bit of pressure there?
There's for sure a little bit of pressure, especially because we're still in the qualification period. But it's also nice because Cortina is where the Women's Olympics will be held. And that's where where one of the Irish coaches is based. So I've done quite a few bits of training close enough to that area, and a few races on one of the easier slopes in Cinque Torri. So it's definitely something special.
So we're coming to the tail end of the qualification process now, but we know from, you know, chatting to different Olympic athletes and in different disciplines as well, that it's been a really long process of qualification. Yeah. Kind of for 2 years now. When kind of at the beginning or the middle of 2024, when you were beginning this process, how do you feel now compared to then? Do you feel you're in a far better place, or are you kind of where you wanted to be?
I'm not quite where I wanted to be, but I've also had a lot more difficulties in trying to get the amount of training that I wanted to have, being because last year I was in my last year of school, so I had to do a lot of focusing on schoolwork, and I wasn't at the level that I wanted to be at in skiing. While now in the meantime in training, I'm feeling a lot more confident, but I haven't been able to show that yet in the races, so it's a bit difficult, but I'm trying to just lay off the pressure, and whatever happens will happen.
How is it trying to balance sort of your school life and your social life against what I'm imagining is a very intense training regime?
It's definitely not easy, but it is doable. I mean, this year I'm lucky because I have taken a gap year in order to try and focus a bit more on skiing. I have been working a lot all over summer, so that was very stressful and trying to combine several different jobs with skiing and training and all that stuff. Last season was difficult, as I said, because it was the last year of school, so I also wanted to do well in school. So sometimes you would come off the mountain and immediately, even if you wanted to take a nap or take a quick break, you just have to sit down and study and get through it. So you need a lot of dedication in that sense, but it is possible.
And what's the kind of support system like? I suppose, do you have a big team around you sort of getting ready and prepping for all of this?
So the Federation has always been of great support to me, and I'm very grateful to them. The past few years, I've had to try and do some of my own things a bit more. And I'd go to the Irish coach, or one of the two, in more around Kronplatz area in Italy, just for separate training blocks. This year is a bit different because now I've joined a bigger team, so I have more fixed routinely trainings. And I'm just grateful that I have the opportunity to even do that.
And I was kind of looking back at your career representing Ireland so far. I think was the first time you represented Ireland, was it in Andorra?
Yes, that's correct. I was in U14 first year.
And what were your memories of that, sort of that first time?
It was very special to me because I had never met any other Irish skiers living, like growing up and skiing in Switzerland. And I had fun. It was the first ever camp and there were quite a few other Irish kids, which now you don't really get as much in FIS because everyone is off doing their own thing in different countries. So it was always a very nice experience to me and a nice way to be introduced into the Irish Federation.
Is it a close-knit community, the sort of winter sports, the Irish winter sports community? Because, I mean, from the outside looking in, it looks like a very small kind of proportion of athletes.
Yeah, it's quite close. I mean, we really don't have many athletes, especially on the girls' side, we're fewer because it's so difficult to try and do these races and trainings, especially if you're based in Ireland. So there are quite a lot of the athletes I wouldn't know because we're more spread out over the world, being in America or France, Spain, all of that. But you still kind of know who most of the athletes are or have heard about them anyway.
And then kind of looking back again at the Junior World Championships in 2024, am I correct in saying that you had medals in speed disciplines?
I did, yes, because at that point I was still in the U18 category branch. So in the overall race, I didn't get medals, but in the U18, I managed to clinch gold in the downhill and Super G events. So that was definitely probably the biggest highlight of my career so far.
And kind of when you recognize, or that moment when you know that you've kind of achieved this gold medal moment and you've done it twice in that championships, does it spur you on? Is it this kind of looking back, you know, I am able to achieve that kind of thing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it gives you a lot of hope and motivation for the future. I mean, because sometimes the ski sport is very difficult and it's not always that rewarding because you put in a lot of hard work and sometimes the results just don't come out the way you want them to. So that was definitely something that made me go, wow, this is amazing. I want to continue doing this and keep working hard to hopefully achieve it someday again.
So the Winter Olympics now that are coming up in Italy now in February, are these the first games that you've tried to qualify for?
Yes, they are, because for the last time around for the Winter Olympics, I was still too young. I wasn't in FIS yet. So this is my first time being on the long list and trying to qualify for it.
Is the journey, the qualification journey, what you expected kind of growing up in this community? Did you have an idea of what you would have to do? Or has there been any surprises, I suppose, in this journey?
Well, honestly, I had never thought about it that much in the past because it seemed so far away to me. So especially the last time around, I had no idea what was going on because I wasn't even in FIS yet. So it's definitely different. And now you can see, especially if you're around other people from smaller nations, there's a lot of people really race chasing and trying to get in their results before the qualification period ends, which is coming up very soon already. So it's kind of, I guess in some ways it's surprising because of that. And it's a bit of a tension and pressure that you're not used to, but it's still really a nice experience.
because so many people that we were kind of talking to about this episode and that we're doing now, we're kind of couldn't believe that it's so soon to the start of the Olympics that you find out whether you're going to be on the team. I think it's January 18th is the day that the kind of team is going to be set into stone.
Yeah, exactly. So we only have time until then. So it's coming up a lot sooner than I had expected. I think less than 2 weeks at this point, or 10 days actually. So it's kind of trying to get in that final spurt before the cutoff comes. And then that's just as much as you could do.
And what do the next kind of two weeks, 10 days look like for you? Are you racing pretty much every day?
Not every bit day, but quite a few of the days. I mean, now this weekend I have two GS races, followed by some speed races next week, and then another two races.
So obviously, you know, you have a very busy kind of couple of weeks coming up with races kind of coming hard and fast. Do you still find time to enjoy what you're doing despite all of the kind of pressure and the looming deadline?
Yeah, I'm still definitely enjoying a lot of it because, I mean, especially in training when I feel like I'm making progress, it's always a very nice feeling, and to have a few athletes around you that help you enjoy the training, even with all the stress, is very nice.
And if you were to qualify for the Olympics, and we wish you the best of luck in your journey to do that, what would that mean for yourself and your family?
I don't even know because I haven't quite thought that far yet, but it would be a really big deal. And I especially, my granddad, he was a very big sports person, so I think it would make him very proud as well.
Well, we wish you the absolute best of luck and in all of your races in the next 2 weeks. I can't imagine just how busy that you are at the moment. So thank you for taking the time to talk to us. And finally, our very own Susanna Mullen chatted to mogul skier Claire Dooley before the Christmas just there, talking about her hopes to qualify for the 2026 Winter Olympics in an incredibly niche sport that, I mean, I hadn't known much about before and was very excited to hear about. So here's Claire.
All right, we are taking a look at the upcoming or next year's Winter Olympic Games that are taking place in Italy. And as part of that, we're going to be chatting to Claire Dooley today, who is Ireland's first ever freestyle mogul skier, which is, if you don't know, a discipline of skiing competition consisting of a one-timed run of free skiing on a steep, heavily moguled course. Moguls are basically steep bumps of snow on a ski slope that skiers have to navigate around. Pretty difficult, even at the best of times. Let alone, to top it off, they have jumps at the top and the bottom of the course from which the competitors have to perform aerial tricks. So Claire made history debuting on the FIS Freestyle World Cup circuit for Ireland in the 23-24 season, and she is currently competing to try and qualify for the 2026 Winter Olympic Games. So Claire, how are you today?
I'm good. Nice to see you today, Susanna.
Nice to see you too. Thank you for getting up at what I'm sure is an ungodly hour of the morning over in, where are you? You're in Canada?
Yeah, so I'm in Canada right now, which is where I base most of my training. But the past few months I've been in Finland, in Sweden. We kind of chase snow in our sport.
Is Canada a kind of base between competitions? Is there a family home there, or is it just where you kind of locate your training when you're not at a competition?
Yeah, we do have a family home, and it worked out because 5 years ago when COVID hit, I needed to be based somewhere with snow where I didn't have to travel all the time, and my coach lived in Vancouver in Canada. So I ended up here, and it's been my base since then.
Okay. I'm sure people can hear straight away that you have not an Irish accent, maybe more of an Australian twang on there. I was reading up on your website and you said, a quote, a girl from a nation with no snow. Now, I reckon that could probably be either Ireland, but you did mean referring to growing up in Queensland, Australia. Is that right?
Yeah. So I grew up in Brisbane, which is in the state of Queensland. Yeah. And it's called the Sunny State. Queensland's typically 30 degrees, super humid. So it's a little bit of a unusual start to be in minus 10 every day.
Yeah, I can imagine. How did you then go from, I mean, talk me a little bit through your journey of going from the sunny states to now competing for Team Ireland?
So we were really lucky growing up, and we went on a few ski holidays as a family. And my father is a retired sports person himself. He was a rower. So, I mean, sport was always a huge part of our family culture. And if we were going to do a sport, we were going to get into it. And so I did rowing myself, I did netball, and then skiing came along. And as a teenager, that's a lot more fun than sitting in a boat pulling oars at 4 a.m. And it kind of went from there. And my family has super strong Irish roots. So when the time came to decide if I was going to compete for Australia or for Ireland, it kind of felt like the natural route to compete for Ireland. And I mean, how many years later we're here and looking towards 2026.
Yeah, amazing. And so did you start off most of your skiing in Canada on those family holidays? Is that how you kind of got introduced to the sport?
Yeah, that's totally correct. So we went for 2 weeks on our first year, and the next year we went for 3 weeks, and the next year we went for 4 weeks. And next thing I was in grade 11 homeschooling myself in Canada. So
wow,
things kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah. How long did it take you to realize that this wasn't just a sport that you really like doing as a holiday activity, like the most of us who go on ski holidays, versus, wow, this is something I really want to take further?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good question that I haven't really considered. I think, kind of as I said, our family culture was always, if you're going to do something, you're going to work hard at it, and you're going to put all your energy into it. So I'd say probably around grade 10 when I really started being on a mogul course full time. That's when I realized, okay, maybe this is something that I can create into a career. But at the same time, I was 16 and you have this idealized image of the Olympic Games and that would be so cool. And I don't think at that time I realized just how much work goes into it. So I mean, it's all a gradual progression, right? Every year you develop new goals, you develop deeper passions about the sport, something that started as super fun and I want to continue doing it because it's thrilling, then turned into, wow, I love pushing myself as much as I can. And then the next year it turned into, wow, I want to see if I can do something that I don't actually believe I can.
Amazing. I mean, that's probably the determination of an athlete coming through in you, where the most of us would look at three moguls and say, absolutely not, I'm falling down that hill. But you mentioned your Irish roots. Tell me a little bit about them. So you had Irish grandparents who emigrated over to Australia. Is that's the correct link?
It's my
great-grandparents. Great-grandparents.
And both of my grandparents then were born in Australia. But I was really lucky that they kept the Irish culture strong in our family. So my grandfather ran Irish pubs in Brisbane. And although they're unfortunately closed now, the streets in Brisbane where they were are still commemorated by Gaelic street names.
Oh, wow.
And my grandmother revived the Irish St. Patrick's Day parade in Australia. So we were lucky to grow up around a big Australian Irish culture, which I'm sure many of your listeners who have visited Australia or maybe have immigrated from Australia themselves know that there's a lot of Irish in Australia. We're kind of a mini Irish nation down there. So yeah, it was really fun to be a part of that. And then now getting to spend so much time in Ireland, I would say that Ireland is more my home now than Australia. And I feel really lucky that even though I don't share the same accent, everyone's embraced me as if I was born there.
Wow. So it was never really, Did you ever have any kind of links to the Aussie skiing setup, or was it really you were kind of doing it in Canada and then you chose, when I start to compete at an international level, I'd like to represent Ireland, and that's how the link, obviously you had a link from your heritage, but that's how the link with the professional kind of side of it came about?
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. So I never skied under the Aussie flag.
Okay. And so tell me then, I read that you do a lot of your training with Team Canada, despite competing for Team Ireland, because that's where you're based. How does that work in terms of kind of the access you get? And I suppose, how does that help you being from a nation where we have such a small ski program ourselves?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just as a little bit of background, mogul skiing itself is a very tight-knit community and we're a small sport. So particularly on the World Cup, it's a high-risk sport and they keep spaces very limited because of that. You don't want skiers who aren't capable of those courses coming and potentially hurting themselves, for example. So we have about 50 girls, 60 men, and that means everyone knows everyone. We're all great friends. But as a result of that too, that means across the globe, there aren't many mogul courses at one time.
Okay.
So you'll often see throughout our training year, even the whole circuit, we travel to all different training zones together. So maybe in the summer, we'll travel down to South America and train in Chile. And not only will, say, myself and Team Canada be training there, but we'll also be with the Koreans. The French team might be there. So everyone's a really close-knit community, and there is just generally limited resources in our community. So then growing up skiing in Canada, I had ties with the members of the Canadian team. I was great friends with them. And as I started to come up onto the world tour as a single athlete, we can't maintain an entire mogul course by ourselves. It's hours and hours of shovel work. It's actually probably one of the only sports where athletes actually maintain our courses, our fields. You don't see rugby players out there mowing the rugby field, or say ice hockey players out there maintaining the ice. But I mean, in mogul skiing, that's what we do. And so we knew that as a single athlete, that's just something we couldn't do. And just as it evolved throughout the years and I became better friends with the Canadian team, they really started to take me under their wing. They were like, hey, we want you around. You're one of our peers. We love training with you. And I'm really lucky I have one of the legendary coaches in our sport. His name's Darcy Downs, and he has a really strong background in the aerial jumps, so the jumping. And so that works out for the Canadian team too. As we collaborate, he's great at helping them shape jumps. And it's just a real full circle of shared resources. So we made that collaboration between the Canadian team and my team official. And yeah, it's awesome. I have a group of peers around me that I otherwise wouldn't have. And I think that's one of the best parts of sports. I know in 30 years, I'll look back and it won't be whatever accomplishment I made on X date. It'll be those really close personal ties of experiences that are very rare that I've experienced with these people.
Yeah, I can imagine, because I'm sure it would be a very lonely journey in sport if you didn't have a team around you. And I know your brother represents Ireland for mogul skiing as well, but other than that, are there any other Irish athletes that kind of compete in the same stuff as you do? Or is it they compete in the other kind of skiing disciplines, the alpine skiing and what the other ones are? Sorry, I can't list them all.
So yeah, across all of the ski disciplines, and across all ages, Snow Sports Island has about 50 athletes, but you're absolutely right. There's only my brother and I in mogul skiing. And that means, yeah, it's essentially us traveling and training together. Because skiing disciplines are very specific about the resources they need, there's not really any crossover between ski disciplines where I would see others. I mean, the maximum is at an Olympic Games where everyone is in the village together. I think you could look at it like, say, it's exactly like the Summer Games, even though a hockey team and a rugby team may both use a grass field, they're never really going to cross over.
Yeah, it's amazing because I think people probably wouldn't make that distinction when they think of the Winter Olympics just because they don't know as much about it. They probably think of skiing and just think of going down a hill on two skis rather than all the incredibly, not niche, but different disciplines there are that we're only starting to learn about as we kind of delve into this topic. But I suppose, it as you spoke about there so well, the benefits and the incredible kind of assistance you have from Team Canada, I'm curious, what do you think your journey would have looked like had that not been the case? Like, do you think there was enough kind of resources in the Team Ireland Centre to help you get to the stage you're at now? Or do you think that would have been a really difficult journey had you not been based in Canada?
It's funny, I come from, one of my biggest values is nothing is impossible, it just takes a little bit longer. So, I mean, I'm sure it would have been a very difficult road and taken a lot of energy to work things out in terms of access to training venues. But like, we would have made it happen. As I said, it's a small community in mogul skiing, and there's many countries who are willing to collaborate short term. But I think more where I would have missed out on opportunities is, as I said, having that team around me. Every day with the Canadian team, I get to go out and train with my idols. They push me. I have examples that I get to learn from. I have people that I get to come off the hill and debrief with. And I think without those supports, it definitely would have been a lot harder of a road, and I would have learnt and grown in my sport, particularly on the mental side, at a lot slower of a rate.
Yeah, I can imagine. And in terms of kind of financial support or funding, is it self-funded when you're kind of going to competitions and all of those kind of things, or is there some support?
Yeah, exactly. It's self-funded. So again, very small sport, and Snow Sports Ireland is a small national sporting organization as it is. And I have no carding from Sport Ireland. So Sport Ireland only cards very specific disciplines, and that doesn't include the skiing disciplines. I'm very grateful. I'm an Olympic Solidarity Ambassador, so I do get some funding from the International Olympic Committee, but none of that's directly from Ireland. And I have no bad feelings towards that. We're a small country, and there's incredible athletes who I believe are much more deserving than me getting funded. And I'm just very grateful to even have the support from Ireland to say, go and support our country. Like, that in itself is the biggest honor I could ask for.
Yeah. And I suppose something like an Olympic Games is so key in getting so many more eyeballs on these small sports and on the incredible athletes training day in, day out to make it there, and kind of what they're doing, and not just that, you know, skiing is a family holiday that we like to go on once a year. But in terms of mogul skiing itself, how did you decide that was the one for you over, say, all the other disciplines of skiing?
So where I grew up skiing is a place called Whistler. In Canada. It's about 2 hours outside of Vancouver. I'm actually sure a lot of your listeners have heard of it because it's a huge tourist destination. But the great thing about Whistler is that it has very easy access to a lot of off-piste terrain. So for anyone who doesn't know, that's terrain that isn't actively maintained. So it forms a lot of natural moguls. It forms a lot of features that you have to learn to either ski through or quickly avoid, lots of change in direction. And just growing up in skiing, that sort of environment, I didn't necessarily gel with being pinholed into, say, a ski race environment where it is on a groomed run. I found it super exciting to be diverse and learning to maintain skiing in super variable conditions. And so a natural progression from that was mogul skiing, because it combines speed, it combines changing conditions. Our course changes every day. It's super technical with how you approach the bumps. And then obviously you have the aerial side.
Yeah. And what age did you start, not even competing, but then start, I suppose, practicing mogul competition, or freestyle mogul, is that what they call it?
Exactly, exactly. I probably saw my first mogul course when I was about 14, 15. So really late in the game. Some of my best friends now, at that time, they were already winning like North American Cups, which are the big stepping stone onto the World Cup. Many of my competitors now were already on the World Cup, so it was definitely a late start.
Okay, and did that disadvantage you, do you think, or do you reckon you've caught up?
It's definitely been a huge challenge to overcome. For me, it's been the experience side of it. So some of my competitors have stood in the gate hundreds of times, whereas I've stood in the gate under 100 times. And so having that trust in yourself that you'll push out and be able to adapt to whatever ahead of you has been something I'm still working to overcome. But we've all had our different pathways. Everyone has had their different challenges. So, I mean, whilst this has been a huge challenge for me to overcome, I mean, say, for example, I haven't had a comeback from an ACL injury, which is super common in our sport, or any other setback. So we're all dealing with our own pathway.
I was actually about to ask you about the knee injuries. I was reading up that a lot of freestyle mogul skiers, even in their early 20s, can need knee replacements just from the intense pressure that's put on their knees when they're coming down the hill. I mean, luckily you haven't faced any of them yourselves, but is that something you've noticed, like an incredible amount of injuries, kind of short careers in the sport?
Yeah, totally. I mean, our careers finish, if you're 30 in our sport, you're considered very old. It's just an immense amount of impact on your body. And I mean, acute injuries, we're looking at many concussions, definitely knee injuries, but just over time, that sort of force and pressure, particularly through your spine. People end up pretty injured. So knock on wood, I've been great so far, but it's kind of also something that's accepted in our sport. You're going to take a lot of knocks, and you're probably going to feel those knocks when you're turning 45.
Yeah, that must put a lot of pressure in a way on the Olympics and the qualification when it rolls around, because it's only every 4 years. And if you have shorter careers, you only have, you know, maybe one or two goes at it, in comparison to other sports where you might have three or four. This is your first attempt at qualifying for an Olympic Games, I presume?
Yeah, it is. And no, you're exactly right. I think one of my biggest personal struggles is that sense of time pressure. And the past few months, my focus has really been putting the Olympics completely out of my mind, because that pressure can become so overwhelming. And we're in a sport where you have a run of under 30 seconds requiring maximum focus. And if you're at the top of that run thinking about the what ifs, you're not going to lay it all on the line, which is what our sport requires. You can't hold back and give it a 70% effort just to make it across the line. Like, that's not going to be a high enough performance. You have to be on the edge of risking complete failure versus complete success.
Gosh. How have the last couple of months looked like for you then? I know you've been competing in the World Cups, but what's the actual, I suppose, qualification process that you've been doing?
So I've met two out of our three qualification criteria. And my final criteria is being in the top 30 of all mogul skiing athletes in the world by the time the Olympics roll around. So I have two more events, four more starts to make that happen before the Olympics, and that will be in Waterville Valley in the USA and then in Valsankoum in Canada. And I recently competed in Ruka in Finland a few weeks ago. Unfortunately, we're having a very poor snow season across the world, so two of our starts have been cancelled. We would typically compete potentially up to 10 times before an Olympic Games in February. So that's put a lot more pressure on it too, as such limited opportunities to gain those points. But it's kind of very reflective of our sport. Things are changing all the time and you just have to adapt to what you've given.
Yeah. So when did the kind of qualification period start? In that you said you have to be in the top 30. How long of a period is it that you get to make it into that top 30?
So that is a 2-year period running up to the games. But it's not just a single top 30 placing. We, as World Cup athletes on the tour, we're continuously accumulating points from our finishes, our places. So your ranking changes constantly as people do better than you, as you do worse. And by right prior to the Olympics, it's where you are in that ranking that matters. So you could have had the best season of your life that first 12 months, and you could be ranked in the top 15, and then you make it around to the next 12 months and you crash out at the first few events, and then all of a sudden you're dropped out of that top 30. So it's really all about consistency.
Yeah, that's tough, because it's such a long period of time to have that pressure on you, that you know that every race is counting towards kind of your dream that's coming 2 years down the road. Where do you currently sit in terms of your confidence levels heading into, I suppose, the last two events?
I know that the games is right there if I'm willing to reach out and take the risk and grab it. And it's going to require a lot of hard work, but I have to believe that I'm capable in order to take the risk to do that hard work and take the risk to put it all on the line. So these next two events for me are really going into those events, as I said, just really hungry to put it all out there. And again, trying to put the Olympics out of my mind, because I know that I have to give it my all, even if that means I'm on the edge of what we call blowing out of a run. So saying pushing yourself too much that you blow out. So keeping it out of my mind and keeping my focus just on that single run every time, and knowing that if I do the work, the outcomes will be there.
Okay. Well, best of luck in the next two competitions anyway. As in regards to after that, whether you make kind of the Olympic Games next year, or whether you, even if you don't. Do you plan to continue with mogul skiing for the time being? I know you said you've applied for a graduate medicine program in UCD as well. Is that something you'll look to do alongside the skiing?
I would love to be able to combine the two. And I've had some awesome discussions with UCD about how can we make that happen. But just to give everyone a little bit of background on how mogul skiing works, because it's such a skill intensive sport, we train all day, every day. So it's not like an endurance sport. I mean, say if you're a rower or a runner and you could get up in the morning and then train and then go to uni for the day and then go home and train. No, like we have to be in a remote location at a training site, and we can only train during certain daylight hours where the conditions are great. So that really takes us away from a potential university environment. So not to say that it's impossible. Myself and many of my other competitors, we're all completing bachelor degrees on the road, but you look to something like medicine where you have to be in the lab every day doing anatomy. That makes it a little bit harder. So right now my focus is on the games, and then we'll make some decisions after that. I'm super passionate about my academics and a future career in medicine. I mean, saying that too, I would love to continue mogul skiing because I don't feel like I've reached my future, my full potential, and stopping something before you see where you can go is tough. And on the other side, you mentioned too, I have my younger brother, Thomas, and the potential to compete with him at the 2027 World Championships, that would just be a super awesome memory to have. So all balls are up in the air, everything's on the table. But right now my focus is on the games.
Amazing. Well, we wish you the very best of luck in the next two competitions and the games. Hopefully we'll be watching you compete there, and we can't wait. And thank you so much for chatting to us today. It was really, really interesting. I hope a lot of people have learned something new, because I definitely have.
No, thanks for having me on, Susanna. Like, this exposure for our sport, as you said, skiing's not just a family holiday. It's actually, I mean, in my opinion, particularly mogul skiing, it combines so many skills, and it's extremely mentally demanding. And it's helped me grow as a person beyond anything that I could imagine. So I just love being able to share this sport with everyone.
All right. Well, thank you so much for chatting to us.
Thank you very much for listening to another episode of Word on the Street, and we wish the very best of luck to all of the Team Ireland hopefuls as they continue their qualification journey for the 2026 Winter Olympics.
I think they'll go all the way to the final, to be honest.
Yeah?
Yeah. I believe in Mike Hanke, and I suppose they're good at football, they just have to believe in themselves.
I love playing 12, I love playing 10, I love being on the pitch, to be honest.
Are you confident?
Absolutely not.
No!
Thank you for all the supporters. Thank you for the team. Thank you, France. Merci la France. Merci les baguettes. Merci les croissants. Je vous aime. I love you.